Coming up in this episode of the KitCast, a simple yet clever way of retrieving your lost items, flossing is reinvented, no more blue fingers, and basketballs get blue tooth. Plus, Drew's back, so sit back and relax. It's time for the KitCast. Hey everybody, it is another episode of the KitCast, and I am KT Data, and I am excited because I had so much fun on our last episode that our guest co-host today asked me, can I be on the next episode? And I am yes. So let me introduce him right now. You guys remember from the previous episode, there's Drew right there. So Drew, how are you doing today, man? And I am so glad that you wanted to come back for this.
I had a good time. I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, I spent my day, you know, either chasing college kids or chasing my young kids. And so this was like real adult interaction. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah. So
let's do this.
If you guys have never seen the KitCast before, the whole idea of the KitCast is that Drew and I were huge fans of crowdfunding projects. And I really think this is a great way to get projects off the ground. And what we do is we go around to sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter and try to find the unique projects or interesting projects that we can kind of bring out to you and have you guys check out on here. So let's kind of start off with looking back at some of these projects. We don't do that a lot, is see how previous projects went. And this is actually looking at the project that Drew sent to us and brought from last episode, and it's Hatter M.
Hatter M did well. It did well. And, yes. And I remember when we did it, it was close to its goal, but not quite there yet. And so it's good to see that it punched its goal.
Yeah, it looks like February 28th, so last Thursday, it reached its goal of $20,000. And what's cool about a lot of these crowdfunding projects is they know that they say, hey, we've reached our goal, but we want to keep the excitement going on. So we're going to add some stretch goals right here. So if we raise this X amount of money, we're going to include extra stuff into this. And in this case, Frank said that if we're going to reach $30,000, anybody who pledges $15 or more is going to get a print of the first Hatter M concept drawing right there. And let's see if I can pull that up on here. And I'm super excited about it because it actually looks pretty cool on there. And in addition, you're going to get a PDF of the... a PDF of a short graphic novel that he's actually doing on there, and then he also has more than that. So if we reach $40,000, if you've pledged more than $40 or more, you get a deck of playing cards. Actually, these playing cards, I specifically tried to customize my pledge just to get these playing cards.
Just to get those,
right?
Nice, I love those
right there. Which features the original artwork of
Ben Temple Smith.
Ben Temple Smith, right there. And then you get a second short story. Man, how many short stories does he have on here? Because you get a second there.
He's got tons.
And then he unlocks a new tier where you can actually get a PDF of the actual... He's writing another novel since he saw so much interest on this. And then finally you have the $50,000 stretch goal right here, where anybody with $60 or more will get a T-shirt and a fourth graphic PDF of a graphic novel short story. And there's two more tiers where you can actually get a printed hardcover back signed of the novels right there. So I'm super excited. Like, Drew, this is all on you that you introduced this to me, and I got super excited about it.
It's a great world. I mean, this whole stuff that he's built, everything in the story, I'm excited for the next Looking Glass War story or the novel style. But 16 days to go. He's a dollar shy of 23K right now. So I'm hoping that they can at least stretch into that 30,000-40,000 range in 2 weeks. He was a project of the day on Kickstarter. I think they front paged him for a day, which was really cool to see that. And I think, you know, I think he could push into that mid range of the stretches. It's good to be optimistic, though.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and you know, everybody still has a chance to do it. And I actually forgot to tell you about this, Drew, offer. I sent Frank the episode that we had on it.
Oh, you did?
His PR guy's like, hey, can we, you know, take that segment and use that in our PR materials? So right now your review is actually getting advertised out to people
sweet.
On there. I forgot to tell you about that. I think it's pretty sweet on there.
Wow. He liked a post of mine on Facebook that I'd mentioned this show, but I'm glad you reached out to him and actually sent a copy. That's great.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. So now there's not a lot of news in the world of Kickstarter these 2 weeks. You only can have so much news. So I wanted to actually, there's this new service that actually launched that I found in a Wired article, and it's called Make That Thing. So one thing that people tend not to think about when they're thinking about these projects is how are they going to actually fulfill these backer rewards right there? And with Make That Thing, their whole idea is that they actually don't do projects right there. They are a service that kind of helps artists and creative people plan and fulfill their backer rewards. They're actually geared more towards projects that are comic books, and games, because they're actually their parent company is called Topato Co. And what they've been doing is kind of providing a storefront for different comics and art and different artists who want to sell their stuff. They take care of the shipping and making all the items and everything. So they're really limited. They won't take on anybody who's doing a hardware, a design, a video game, or a fashion product, because they're like, well, we don't know how to make any of this stuff right here. We only know how to like do print goods and stuff. So
I was gonna say, where are they at on this? Got it.
So a lot of it is they have different printed materials, books, comics, or posters, or if you have embroidered items, t-shirts, polos, neckties, that kind of things, aprons, novelties, and baubles. I don't know what a bauble is, but apparently they really like foam swords.
Bauble heads are still around? Is there bauble head?
I have no idea.
So these guys, they team up with projects to say, you know, when these goals are met, Make That Thing is the one that's creating the little promo materials, stickers and other things.
Yeah, you know how you get stickers and everything? And we've heard a lot about these projects. Some projects where they wanted maybe like $10,000 and it blew up to $100,000. And like, holy crap, how are we going to send these things out? So what they actually do is like, hey, you know, we know how to print these things in mass production. We also have shipping centers already. So we have boxes and everything ready to go. So when your project finishes and you need to send out a lot of these rewards, we have the facilities. So we're offering this service to you on there. And I think it's a great idea. I mean, we were talking pre-show how we should start a company that makes Kickstarter videos for people,
right?
This is kind of their version of like, hey, we can help you. We know how to do the logistics of this, and we can help you out with that on there. So I think this is actually a great for if you're thinking of making your own Kickstarter project and you're afraid, like, well, I don't know how to ship all this stuff and everything. These guys actually already know how to do it. The only drawback right now is they're in a closed beta, but they'll be opening it up fairly soon. So you just got to keep an eye on their Twitter, which is @ThingMake. Or on their Tumblr account at makethatthing.tumblr.com on there. You can actually go straight to their site, and it has all the links at makethatthing.com on there. And I think it's a great idea.
That is a good idea. I think that, especially if you consider like some of the crowdfunding, the whole idea is that you don't have the means or the resources right away. And so if somebody's promising, like Hatterim, I'm going to be shipping out dozens of you know, extra copies of this and that, and I think there were stickers and posters and things in his packages. This makes sense to have somebody else that can go, oh, you've got 600 people to serve. We, you know, rather than storing all that stuff in your back room or your closet if you're a smaller shop.
You see pictures too all the time where somebody has their living room just filled with packages and stuff. And you know, I like their whole motto is like, we want to make it easy so you can focus on what you do best. We're good at shipping stuff, and we want you to focus on your art goods and stuff. That's why they're kind of aiming more towards that kind of artsy feel, because they've dealt with people like that before, and they kind of know what they need, so they can help you out on that.
That's cool. That's cool. Somebody saw a niche and jumped in. That's great.
Yeah. So that's the Make That Thing service right there. That's pretty much all the news we have on it. So let's kind of just jump into our projects right here. So, Drew, you want to take away this one called The Bungee?
The Bungee. And there were some good projects. I spent the week kind of, you know, going through and looking at things and having a couple catch my eye. Some we're going to save for a couple weeks. We'll see if I get back for that show. But the one that I'm going to start off with is called Bungee, which reminds me of like the old Marathon games for on Apple way back when. Bungee. But they call this Bungie, and it's a lost and found tool. So if you look at Bungie, you'll see that they've got this idea to get things back to you if you lose something. And I think what caught my eye was just that it's kind of the tags that they've got are visual, they're good looking. You can see like they have it on phones and on laptops, on glasses, on keys. And these are things that people lose all the time. And so Bungie is this lost and found system where you get these little tags and you tag them to your special items, your keys, your phone, your laptop. And they have a special code on them that somebody else can text that code. So essentially what Bungie Virtual Lost and Found boils down to is, this is on a way for you to get your things back anonymously, right? So the whole idea is that their service, using these tags, connects to anonymous people without, to arrange a meetup, I guess, or to arrange the return so that somebody could get something back. There's some good stuff to this one. There's kind of this honor system, and in their testing, they found a lot of people returning things. So what they did is they ran out to a bunch of different college towns and big towns and cities, New York City, and I can't remember where else they went, Ohio, or a couple of different places, and they left things laying around, a camera, an iPod. They had these tags on them, and they just waited for somebody to text the number, and you just text 475-6662, whatever this Bungie number is, and you, because you registered that serial number, get a ping that says, hey, so-and-so found your stuff, this phone number found your stuff, or this email found your stuff, and you can get in touch with them and negotiate back and forth how to meet up. So their video is a really interesting, actual rundown of it. Here's how it worked. I had a couple issues with the video, but that's just from where I come from. I'm a video guy, right? They did really well. A part of it was just felt like this was shot 4 years ago, and they're just now putting it together into a Kickstarter. And even if you go through their story, it seems like the idea and everything was, it had been a couple of years that they've been kind of putting this together. But I think they're close. And if you look at it, $6,600 out of 10,000. They've got some great packages. But anyway, idea-wise for now, I think it's a good tag system. I like the design. I like how easy it is. I really do like the look of it. I wouldn't mind putting something like that on a keychain or on my computer or my, fancy equipment. I think that's probably what's turned me off to some of the other types of, don't lose your stuff systems. This one relies a little bit more on just good, honest people that they'll know how to get things back to you. But I don't mind the look of it. Other thing I noticed in there is that they have 1 year coverage for certain levels, and then they have lifetime coverage. And so I'm wondering when it actually gets, if you're not a backer and it actually comes out, are you paying $10 to get your tags? And then, that becomes a service that you subscribe to every year, a subscription. So I'm not quite sure where that runs in, because almost every one of their levels is a lifetime coverage. So those tags, those numbers are on their servers forever. So that they're connected to you forever. So I don't know. For me, it's a track. I think it's a good idea. It's got 10 days left, and I think it's something to really keep an eye on and maybe push it over the edge. Because it's one of those things that if I threw $20 on it, I'd be like, yeah, well, I'll give this a whirl.
Yeah. The one thing I like is it doesn't require a battery. That's always been an issue, especially even with things like Find My iPhone and everything. I've always found myself, crap, what happens if the battery's gone or if the Wi-Fi is not working on there? I kind of have that issue on
and if you have something like that, you can have the beeper, but this one's almost long term. If I if I lose my phone on a subway, if I lose my phone somewhere that's crowded with people, chances of somebody looking at it and seeing that tag on the back, saying, oh, now I know how to get back to this person, as opposed to I'll just open it up and see if I can call the first person I find. There's just something easy about hooking up with somebody that way.
Yeah, the only thing I'm a little skeptical about is, and you kind of mentioned it, is it looks like it's service-based on there. So what kind of happens if they shut down or anything? There's no guarantees that will keep traction. I mean, because that's the one thing you see a lot with crowdfunding projects is you see a lot of people have an initial enthusiasm for it and kind of fizzles out on there. And I'm kind of really, that's the only thing I'm worried about is what happens if a person texts this number but the service doesn't exist anymore on there. And that's why I would say track on this one, is that that's probably the only drawback to me. I think it's a great idea, a nice low-tech solution to an issue that we've tried to solve using high technology for quite some time. Right. I know.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
All right. So speaking of trying to figure out a solution for an old problem, tell me if you've ever had this happen to you, Drew. You're pulling out some floss, and then you wrap it around your fingers, and next thing you know, you can't feel your fingertips on there.
Every time. That's why I don't floss. I hate floss. Look at it. Look. Flossing is a pain.
Tell people a little bit about fast floss right here and how this is going to solve this issue that we have.
I think that's what I love about this one, is it seems like a really simple goal, seems like a simple idea and a simple concept, but it hasn't been done before that I know of. Nobody's really said, hey, let's redo floss. You've got your different types of floss, your glossy, your glide cam, your rubbery stuff, your paper stuff. In this one, this guy has actually come up with a kind of a prototype to say, well, let's fix this problem. The part where you have to take off 20 inches, wrap it around your fingertips, and then just wait for them to turn red and red and red. I don't know, maybe I'm not a masochist. That's not enjoyable to me. So Fast Floss comes up with this great idea. If you scroll down to the bottom, you can see some of those great pages. And I really like this part. There, go ahead and look at that real quick. That kind of stuff right there, it's an obvious prototype. So I think that's why I love that picture. It's obvious that he hacked into something and he went, how can I make this better? So the idea of Fast Floss, I don't think I hit that part yet, but you take your two halves of one, basically like same size as a floss canister, but it breaks in half. You keep each half in each palm, and you can get in there and floss your teeth and get all the parts that you need, right? Just like you would with your floss wrapped around your finger, but you're holding on to something in your palms instead of killing your fingers. And then when you're done, you rip off the piece, you pop it back together, and then as he shows, you push a button on one side, which reloads the floss, because you've ripped it. You know, you take the used piece out, but you pop them together, push a button, and it kind of reloads it, retightens it, pull it out again, and it strings another string of floss, so you can go, do it the next time. That may be enough to get me to floss more often, more regularly. I used to water pick all the time, and water pick is not quite as good as floss, but for me, it absolved me from having to kill my fingers. So this one for me is definitely 3 weeks to go. I'm interested to see how far they go, and so I'll definitely be tracking this one.
So on this one, I didn't get a chance to find out, but so is he selling these as disposable canisters, or can you bring your own floss and kind of wrap it into the system on there?
As it is set now, they're refillable devices. So you buy the device and then you'll get, depending on your level, 4 refills, 10 refills or whatever to go back in there. And his other claim with this is that you use less floss because you're not wrapping, you don't have to have 20 inches on your fingers. You're having them inside of here. So you can do this with 7 or 8 inches instead of a whole like foot and a half. So he's saying that these 4 refills will last longer. So yes, refills with one device that you refill. He's also offering custom colors. Ooh. Should you get to that point where you get high enough up the tier that you can get custom colors to match your outfits. I don't know.
Are you gonna get like a hot pink one?
Yeah, right? for my little girls.
Yeah.
My girls love the floss. The other day I turned around and my little girl was like, oh, we went out visiting, just out visiting some families, and she brought with her one of her flosses. I was like, honey, what are you going to do? That's something we do in the bathroom to keep our teeth clean. She's like, no, I'm just going to eat them. I'm just going to suck on them. So she had her mint floss and she was just like candy. And
Yeah, so I think it's a great idea because it kind of – you've seen some of the other systems they've had, which would be kind of – like those little toothbrush looking thingies that kind of have the Y thing at the end and everything, and
right,
those
the picks themselves.
Yeah, those. I'm like, yeah, I just don't feel like they work as well as just wrapping them around your fingers.
And I don't think they do. I mean, if you think about it, and this, something that I think people learn as they get into flossing more. Usually for me, it was like the first 10 years of flossing. It was the hygienist being like, this is floss. This is how you use it. And then the next 10 years, I was like, okay, you know what floss is now. Let me show you how to do it right. But those picks, if you think about it, you've got to when you're flossing, you've got to rewind that floss and get different new piece of floss for every crevice of your teeth so that you're not moving bacteria from one place to the next or moving plaque from one place to the next. And those picks, if you're using, you almost have to use a new one for every, you know, between every tooth, which doesn't, I mean, that's not the way they're marketed, but you'd almost have to do that to avoid that problem. But you also can't get the, how do I demonstrate that? You're supposed to get kind of this C shape. When you put it down between your teeth and you're on your gums, you pull it so that you have kind of a C shape, so it curves around the edge of the tooth. And if it's curving around the edge of the tooth, that's where you can scrape the plaque off. And so, yes, those don't quite do that.
Yeah, for this one, I have to say back on there, because a lot of people kind of neglect their dental hygiene on there, and it's really important stuff. And if anything, if this project does anything, even if it doesn't succeed, I hope it at least kind of educates people to go out and floss. You know, your dentist will love you, right, and your teeth will definitely love you, and so will your gums on there. So
yeah,
that's...
I'm gonna track it for a bit. Just I want to feel better, I think, about where it's going, especially the way this prototype is, and I'm sure that as they do their updates and hopefully keep people in the loop, we'll see a little bit more of this development process. It's fun to see this prototype, and I'd be eager to be a part of it as they kind of develop into an actual product. The other thing I love about the Fast Floss is they kind of really took a page out of the Aurabrush book, at least for their video. But if you think about it, Aurabrush is a tongue brush that went crazy online because of their great marketing. And I don't know, Fast Floss has quite this, you know, same trajectory, but I love that they're at least in the same sphere.
Yeah, and so I also I gotta mention, this is a Utah project. I haven't mentioned in a while of any project that has kind of started out of Utah. So come on, Utah! Like, when I first started this, I found all these projects from Salt Lake, and it's kind of fizzled out a little bit. So come on, all you Utahns out there, put out your ideas. We love seeing them. So another thing that I love to do, Drew, I don't know if you like to do it, is play basketball. And just like anything I do, basketball is one of those things where there's always somebody better than you, but you're always working to get a better level.
That's why I don't play. Yeah.
So our next project actually is called the 9450, and it's actually a basketball with. So I always take this rule, and usually it's a joke, but I think it's worth it in this case. Everything becomes cooler once you add Bluetooth. I know you guys are like, what? But this is actually a basketball that has a Bluetooth chip in it on there, and it has 6 different sensors in it. So it actually can analyze things like shot speed, shot arc, backspin, and different types of dribbling on there. I bet you guys didn't even know that. So it actually pairs with a smartphone and in real time sends you the data from that. And the smartphone app also, it's not just a reader for all the sensors. It actually has different modes in it. So there's a workout mode where you can kind of go through your whole routine and make sure everything, you practice all your skills. There's a quick training to focus on a specific skill, say that you need to work on your left-handed dribbling or your right-handed dribbling on there. There's a compete mode, which I honestly don't know how this works, but the ball apparently can track 4 different people using it and the different skills on there. So you can actually do different competitions and can have a competition on that. And on top of that, since it is a smartphone app, you can actually link it and compete with people across the world to see who can get a better stat. So say you have a friend in on the other side of the country and you guys both love playing basketball, but you know, obviously you're in 2 different places. You can kind of compare your skills and everything on there. And of course, what's crazy is it doesn't change. They claim that this does not change the weight or the size of a basketball. It is a standard regulation size basketball. And I also love this one. So you have to charge it, of course, since it's a Bluetooth device. So it uses the Qi wireless charging system, which is kind of becoming a standard in phones now for wireless charging on there. So you just got to set it on the pad and it charges wirelessly on there. You should be able to get an 8-hour battery life on that, and I don't know anybody who can play 8 hours of basketball straight. So that should be more than enough, a 90-foot range, so you don't have to have your phone on you on there. And it stores up to, like I said, it stores up to 4 players and their data for 3 months and works with both Android 4.4 4.04 and iOS 5 and up on there. So that, you know, covers most of the smartphones we have and everything. And this is I'm a huge fan of this kind of thing, because I mean, Drew, you were at CES too, and one thing I predicted at CES would be a boom in these personal sensors. We saw a lot of heart rate monitors, we saw a lot of pedometers and like the Nike Fuel Band or the Jawbone Up, those kind of things. And I was like, so these are personal body things, but why aren't we putting sensors in the actual devices we're using in this case? So it's a great way, because you start getting data, you can post it online, and you say, okay, guys, here are my dribbling stats, and say, what other ways can I kind of improve, or how do I can kind of compare to other players on there? And like, I'd love to get this basketball in the hands of like LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, and to get the numbers off that. So I'm like, oh, you know, this is what I got to try and work out for on there.
It looks like that's part of their plan, right? I mean, build these little celebrity challenges into it. So I,
yeah,
could help with practice and encouraging people to play and to practice.
Yeah. And the one thing I like about these projects is, because a lot of these projects we see, we kind of saw it on our last one with the Fast Floss, is that they're usually prototype items. In this case, this company, the basketball, the system and everything is already done. They're really just pushing for that final push right there, where they just need to get the Bluetooth certified, finish up the iOS app, and, you know, make these actual basketballs right there. And I see in the chat room right there, LaserNorm says, this is a good way for a coach to get his players' numbers if they attend a summer basketball camp or something like in another state. So that way you can kind of bring that in and kind of put that into their training, so you don't have to just say, did you really do those drills? You can actually just look up the basketball and see, oh yeah, he did do those drills, or he's slacking off on there. And I'm usually picky with my basketball quality on there, and it looks like a pretty good basketball with a synthetic leather on it. It's not a pure leather one, but most people I know don't use a pure leather one. They use a synthetic leather one, which gives you that kind of nice feel over there. So for me, this one is definitely a back, because I've been waiting for this. I want sensors everywhere. I want sensors on me. I want sensors in my house. I want sensors in my car. I'm such a numbers geek, you know? Even if I don't even understand what I can do with these numbers, I just love knowing and gauging these kind of things.
Just knowing you have it in your pocket. I dribble 600 dribbles in 1 minute. Yeah, that's awesome.
And it even, so like, yeah, stuff like that. Because you'd be surprised how much of the science in the back, in like things such as your backspin or even the angle of the ball that you release, you can figure out better ways to be more consistent and everything. And I just love this idea of sensors everywhere. I know people are like, you're crazy. The government's going to know everything about you. Everybody's going to know. But I love it.
It's going to happen.
You know?
So I've got two questions on this. One is, they've got this huge jump between their $35 pledge and then it goes to a $195 pledge. So it's like, you can get a non-sensor basketball just because of like a trophy, but if you dump in $150 more, you get the actual thing. And this seems like a, I mean, granted, I understand this is probably an expensive thing to develop, but it seems like there's a hole in the tiers.
Yeah, that's the one thing, is that you can't really get a medium part about this, but I understand this because it's a basketball, so it has to be a fully sealed system to have the air kind of be on there. What they're actually having to do, as I understand this, and hopefully I'm getting this right, is they actually have to go to a basketball manufacturer, embed this inside the system in the basketball already, and then pump it up. Like, that's the one drawback of the sensor.
That makes sense, because it's on the inside. That makes sense. The other one I'm looking at here, the other second question I have is, at least at this point, the wireless charging station that they're showing is flat.
Yeah.
And the basketball is round. What, are you going to like set that on there and hope that it doesn't roll off? I mean, shouldn't it not have a little bit of a cup to it, so it's like, here, let me rest my ball in? You know, I'm sure that's just a design thing that's more of, we got to put a picture up. But
I'm hoping there's a little divot or something, because I did notice that like it might roll around and everything. But what I think is that as more and more of these Qi devices are going to be around, you don't have to necessarily use the one charger they have there. You could be able to, you know, actually I can imagine you could probably take one of those Qi enabled phones, stick it on this charger right now, and it will charge. So maybe this is, you know, of course it's a first generation product on there, but I think it's really cool. And the one reward that I love about this, and it proves to people that you've kind of already gotten through this whole thing, is that if you look at the $3,000 level one, they will send you a working basketball already. It's ready to go on there. And let's see if I can pull it up right here. And so they will ship that to you in April right there. Granted, I don't have $3,000 for a basketball, but, you know, but I think this is actually a where'd that voice come from? Actually a good learning tool. Like, I would never use it in a basketball game or anything, but I think it's an awesome training tool, and I can see this is where the future. Even this company right here, they're saying if this basketball becomes successful, they're going to go into soccer balls and footballs and all these other ones. So you can start seeing these sensors, and you know, even if you're not a professional, I think knowing these numbers is a good way to kind of set a threshold and give you kind of a better way to improve your game. That's the one thing. I suck at basketball. I'll be honest with you. I am terrible at basketball. I enjoy playing it, and I enjoy working and trying to get better at it. So this is the type of thing for me.
This would do it. I love their tagline. Freakishly smart.
Yeah. So, like, Drew, for you, would you back, it's, track, or sack?
It's a track. It's a track for me. I'm not a sports guy. I love the tech. I love the geekery, but I'm not a sports guy. I mean, I barely bought my first basketball for my girl because she was playing junior jazz, and that, you know, I tried to find the cheapest ball I could. So yeah, I'm a tracker. I'll watch it.
You know, she's gonna become a star when she gets one of these and like, Dad, I need one of these. You know, to see how many G's on my dribbling is going.
She can't dribble. She loves to steal my phone. That's why she would love one of these. She would just be like, can I play with your phone? Oh, yeah. And the basketball?
I think it's an awesome idea. So, actually, that is all the projects we have today, Drew. And as always,
we did a pretty solid run through that, yeah.
Yeah, I always, Drew, this is so much fun. And thank you for coming back. I honestly have a blast in just seeing these projects and just talking to you about it and getting kind of another perspective on a lot of these things on there. And like, cause some of these things, I don't think I'd ever find that flossing thing. Cause to me, flossing's flossing. I just got to do it so my dentist doesn't yell at me. But like, I that just brought a great new perspective on there. And, again, for that Hatter M, like, a lot of people don't believe that I back projects. I do back projects on there.
I see it on my app. It shows me in the little pie slices of what Casey. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it.
And, like, if you're watching the video right now, you'll notice that I'm actually wearing a chef's jacket on here. This is actually from one of our projects that we mentioned back in, I think maybe it was even beta days, was Sweet Lydia Sweets. So make sure you guys keep an eye, actually, on kickcast.net, because I will have a KitKast Rewind on that. So nothing like watching me eat sweets and do a full review on it, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you get sweets with that one too?
Yeah, there. I got marshmallows, hot chocolate mix, s'mores. Oh,
yum!
I've been holding back from eating all of them so I can actually do a review on them. But we'll see how long that lasts.
Sweet of you.
But if you guys actually see any projects that you want us to kind of review, email us at kickcast@ktdata.net. I read all the emails that we get, or you can post it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/kickcast. We actually also post on a lot of projects that we don't get to the show because we don't think we could get a really cool. We think they're cool. We just don't think we could get a really good conversation for the show for you guys. So you guys can check that out on there, or you can check us out on Twitter at KitKast or on Google Plus at plus.kitkast.net. I check all of those, and if you guys aren't watching live, you guys should definitely watch live.
Yeah, you get so much more of a show, right? I mean, all you get when you watch the tape is this little section in the middle, but when you watch live,
yeah,
crazy.
We do it every 2 weeks, which, let me pull up my calendar to find out what the next 2 weeks is March 19th, 2013, and you can find that at live.kickcast.net. There's a chat room in there. There are always people in there chatting and talking about the projects too, and we mentioned Laser Room that was in there. And if you see any of these projects that you kind of are like, oh, KT, what was that? Make sure you go to kickcast.net. The show notes and links to the projects go straight over there.
Thorough. Very thorough stuff.
And, you know, make sure you guys subscribe to us. If you guys are on iTunes, please leave a review or something. I'd love to, even if it's bad. I like feedback, good or bad, on there.
Feedback is good. Feedback is good.
And so other than that, Drew, again, thank you so much for coming.
Oh,
and
you're
I
welcome.
Appreciate
I'm enjoying it. I love it. And you may see me knocking on your door in a few weeks saying, hey, let's do it again.
Yeah. And, of course, thank you guys for listening and everything. It always floors me when people are like, yeah, I love that. I love listening to you guys talk about these projects and everything. And it just makes me feel all warm and giggly inside. So thank you guys for watching. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.